Welcome to episode 989 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Titus 2:15 serves as a bridge to the instructions found in Titus 3:1, connecting the authoritative teaching of sound doctrine with practical applications for Christian living. In Titus 2:15, Paul tells the young pastor, "Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Paul emphasizes Titus's responsibility to speak, encourage, and correct with authority granted to him as a church leader. This verse underscores the importance of Titus's role in teaching the gospel and guiding the church in Crete toward godly behavior, reinforcing he should not allow anyone to disregard or undermine his witness. The phrase "these things" refers to teachings Paul laid out in the preceding verses of Titus 2. Paul instructed Titus to teach various groups within the church about conduct consistent with sound doctrine. He outlines practical Christian living that reflects the grace of God, which brings salvation to all people. Paul urges Titus to declare these things, which implies more than just casual conversation. This speaking is a deliberate, authoritative proclamation of truth. The command to exhort further implies a call to action or encouragement towards holy living. For us, this means our message should not only inform but also inspire and motivate others to grow in their relationship with Christ and align their lives with His teachings. The word rebuke implies correcting those who stray from truth or engage in behavior contrary to God's will. This rebuke, however, is not harsh or condemning, but is meant to guide and restore individuals in love. The phrase "with all authority" reminds us that church leaders derive authority not from human sources, but from God. Paul's instruction to Titus is to speak, exhort, and rebuke with authority that comes from the Word of God. Teaching and preaching must be firmly rooted in Scripture. The Bible is our ultimate authority, and our duty is to faithfully present its truths, even when they may be unpopular or countercultural. Our role is to be a voice for God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak truth with clarity, conviction, and courage. This charge to teach with authority in Titus 2:15 naturally leads into the specific instructions given in Titus 3:1. Paul begins this new section by directing Titus to remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. The call to remember and adhere to these practical teachings on Christian conduct flows from the authoritative exhortation Titus is commanded to deliver in the previous verse. Titus is to use his authority to remind believers of their responsibilities not only within the church but also in their interactions with broader society. Paul's instruction in Titus 2:15 lays the groundwork for what follows by affirming Titus's role as an authoritative teacher who must guide believers in living out their faith in ways that honor God. This transition from internal church matters to outward conduct among society shows that the teachings of faith are not merely confined to private worship or personal morality, but are meant to shape how believers engage with the world around them. The continuity between these two verses emphasizes that sound doctrine should result in a transformed life that reflects Christ's character, both in private and public settings. In Titus 3:1, Paul instructs Titus to remind the believers in Crete to be subject to rulers and authorities. This command underscores a fundamental Christian principle: submission to governing authorities as an act of obedience to God. The Apostle Paul had previously articulated a similar teaching in Romans 13, emphasizing that all authority is established by God, and that rebellion against such authority equates to resisting God's ordinance. Paul's directive to Titus takes on particular significance, given the historical and cultural context of Crete. The island was known for its rebellion, corruption, and disdain for authority, making this exhortation especially relevant. The call to be obedient and ready to do whatever is good highlights that submission to authorities should be coupled with a proactive stance in performing good deeds. Paul encourages believers to not only obey passively, but to actively seek opportunities to contribute positively to their communities, aligning their conduct with the transformative power of the gospel. Verse 2: to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Another version says, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate. This call to avoid speaking evil or refrain from slandering urges Christians to guard their tongues, to be careful not to tear down another with words or spread false information about others. This aligns with the biblical teachings on the power of words and the directive to love one's neighbor as oneself. To be peaceable and considerate means that believers should not be quarrelsome or argumentative, but should strive for harmony and demonstrate a spirit of kindness and understanding. Showing courtesy toward all people further emphasizes a continuous, inclusive attitude of gentleness, even toward those who may not share the same beliefs or who may be antagonistic. Paul is advocating for a Christ-like demeanor in all relationships, reflecting the character of Jesus, who the Gospel writer Matthew describes as gentle and humble in heart. Verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Here Paul reminds the believers of our past condition before we encountered God's grace. He lists several characteristics: foolish, disobedient, led astray, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, to describe the moral and spiritual state from which we have been redeemed. This reflection serves as a humbling reminder that believers were once just like those who still live in rebellion and sin. The phrase "hated by others and hating one another" paints a picture of the destructive and divisive nature of life apart from God. Paul's inclusion of himself, "we too," emphasizes that no one is inherently righteous or deserving of God's mercy. This acknowledgement sets the stage for the contrast that follows in the subsequent verses, highlighting the transformative power of God's grace. Verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. This verse introduces a dramatic shift with the conjunction "but," contrasting the former life of sin with the intervention of God's grace. The goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior refers to the incarnation of Jesus, who embodies God's love and compassion for humanity. The word "appeared" is significant, pointing to a divine intervention in human history, the arrival of Christ, which brings salvation to all people. This verse marks a turning point from a past characterized by disobedience and hatred to a new reality defined by God's gracious action. It underscores that salvation is not initiated by human effort, but by the benevolent character of God. Verse 5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Paul emphasizes that salvation is entirely a work of God's mercy, not a reward for righteous deeds. Salvation is by grace through faith and not by works. The phrase, "by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit," refers to the spiritual cleansing and transformation that occurs when a person comes to faith in Jesus. Regeneration suggests a new beginning. Some versions use the word rebirth. Renewal by or of the Holy Spirit indicates an ongoing transformation that aligns a believer's life with God's will. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This language evokes imagery of an abundant outpouring, signifying the Holy Spirit is given without measure to believers. The phrase also echoes the promise of the Holy Spirit as described in Joel 2 verse 28 and fulfilled at Pentecost in Acts 2. Verses 7 to 8. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Justified by his grace means being declared righteous by God, not because of personal merit, but solely because of God's unmerited favor. Justification is a legal term, suggesting believers are acquitted of all guilt and declared righteous in God's sight through faith in Jesus. Being heirs signifies a close relationship with God, akin to that of children to a loving father. The hope of eternal life is a confident expectation of living forever with God, free from sin and death. This hope provides a powerful motivation for godly living and perseverance amid trials. In Titus 3 verses 1 to 8, Paul provides a comprehensive view of Christian conduct and the gospel's transformative power. He instructs believers to submit to authority, speak kindly, and demonstrate gentleness, all while remembering the grace that saved them from their former lives of sin. Paul underscores that salvation is a gift of God's mercy, accomplished through Jesus Christ and applied by the Holy Spirit. This passage reminds believers that their hope of eternal life is secure, and their lives should reflect this assurance through a commitment to doing good. Believers then and believers now can take comfort in this. Father, thank you for the gift of your mercy and grace that transforms our lives. Help us to live in a way that reflects your love and truth, showing kindness, humility, and a commitment to good works. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to be faithful witnesses of your goodness in all we do. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.